This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And we are joined by Mr. Roland Nunez, an aviation meteorologist.
Oh, he's got the fancy weather Ouija board then.
That's right. I've got the weather in my little hands. Oh, never mind.
Give up that singing career, please. Good
Sir,
morning,
how are
Roland.
You?
Hey, doing great and glad to be here.
And you're with the National Aviation Meteorologist.
I believe we established that.
Yep. Yeah. I'm over at the FAA Command Center over in Northern Virginia.
Nice. So, weather. You know, everybody complains about it, but nobody does anything.
Yeah, how come you guys haven't fixed it yet? You know, they say broken sky this morning. You never hear them say, well, have it fixed by noon.
Absolutely. It's amazing, the subject. It's always, always has some positive and negatives, but it was always a part of the conversation.
Oh, yeah. The one thing that I always heard that makes sense is most people live under the weather, but as a pilot, you are immersed in it.
Absolutely.
So, very important, very important.
And you are the guys that are trying to predict what kind of weather we're going to run into when we're flying.
Well, we're one of the many that are actually predicting. Over at the command center, for example, we essentially bring all the weather elements together. So we're bringing input from not only the weather service, but also the industry. It's amazing how much weather information is available. We have a lot of people that are pouring their hearts into this service. And our job is to really bring all the messages together and create a concise message so we can actually make some good decisions.
Okay.
Well, you know, it seems that every time I try to predict the weather at an air show or something, I'm always wrong. How do you guys get used to that?
Well, one, the experience and just having that training. And it's amazing all the training, but the tools that we're using now. It's amazing how much the tools have become sophisticated and more accurate. So that's really helped out in providing the accuracy that we all desire, especially you folks out there flying the skies.
Yeah, flying to little airplanes. Are you gleaning more weather information from aircraft? Like the lady from FAA was talking about using data coming out of actual aircraft to predict turbulence. Are you guys looking at that as well?
We do use some of that.
Like an automatic pyrep kind of thing?
We do use some of that information. For the type of operations we have at the command center, that's only a small segment of what we use. A lot of that's being provided by the Aviation Weather Center. And that is used by the actual pilots, those that are actually piloting. So being at the command center, we're focusing with the air traffic controllers that are actually overseeing the flow across the nation. So they're looking at not only the terminals, but also the en route. So we're looking at the overall multi-tier facet of the FAA air traffic.
Okay. And you disseminate most of your weather information goes to airlines, but there's a lot for us GI guys as well.
There's a lot of information that's going out. Our information in particular is really for the decision makers at the FAA Command Center. And it's using the information that everyone now has at their fingertips. But we're using that information to be able to anticipate where the problems would be. For example, over the weekend, we had weather that was coming into the New York area. And we wanted to make sure that we had it knew exactly when the onset of thunderstorms were going to take place. Particularly if you've ever flown into New York, you know where the critical fixes are. Anytime you have just one storm, you don't need organized areas. Just one storm in the wrong location can really shut down the arrivals or departures. So having that information really helps them plan ahead so they can actually make all the anticipate where they're going to be moving the direction of the traffic into a proper direction and then just keep that steady flow of traffic coming in.
Yeah, I would imagine your role has become more and more important with the increase in commercial flying.
Absolutely. And it definitely has shown, one, the fact that the need's there, but we've shown our worth by the accuracy and then just bringing all the information together in a timely manner so they can actually make that decision well ahead of time.
And you guys are working big picture, too. In other words, you're not just looking at, say, there's a major squall line going through New York. You're passing this information on to everybody else because it'll affect traffic worldwide.
Absolutely. I'll give you an example. In New York, so when we had that situation, we were communicating with the Center Weather Service Unit that's at air traffic centers. So we're talking to them. One, they're looking at information. we're looking at the information as well, and we're getting their perspective. Plain and simple, a lot of times we'll get on the phone and say, hey, what are you messaging to your folks over there? And then I'll mention what we're doing. We'll get make sure we're on the same page. If we're not, let's talk. So getting that information to make sure that we all have the information, that the consistent information for the folks across the nation.
Yep. We're speaking with Roland Nunez from the National Aviation Meteorology people. And the climate seems to be going crazy. So you guys have to be really, really busy, probably busier than in previous years.
Well, it's that's what the beautiful thing about what I do, because I enjoy it. It's never boring. So one area is going to see the overabundance of weather, where the other one goes quiet. This year, for example, it's been mainly over the Midwest, moving into the Northeast. Of course, the typical southern U.S., the West has been really relatively quiet because the monsoon really never kicked in yet.
Right.
And that's why it's so hot. We've been seeing those hot temperatures. Speaking of hot temperatures, so Phoenix and Las Vegas, we've had to monitor those stations really closely, as you know, because of the hot temperatures and just making it more difficult for aircraft to get that lift.
Yeah, right. The density right. Altitudes
exactly.
Have gone nuts. What about the Canadian wildfires and all the,
yeah,
smoke,
the smoke
that's been coming over? That's been nuts, too.
Absolutely, because we have that that northerly flow. That's been very persistent coming from Canada. We're picking up all that smoke. So it's the impacts are great as far west as the Midwest areas, but it's even more significant all over the Northeast and even creeping down towards the Mid-Atlantic.
Yeah. We're from the Mid-Atlantic, and we had some bad
seen
smoke
it.
Days.
We had one day where the visibility was under a mile and the sky was a brilliant orange. It looked like a sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
Well, just looking out here, just, you can see the haze. It's we got the visibility is good, but you can tell it's being impacted over here as well.
Yeah, we got smoke.
Yes, we do. And it's
so how much is any new technologies coming online for prediction, for tracking, for
always. Yes, always.
Do you still use the radio sounds with the balloons?
We do. It's a mainstay. That's how we get the information. They've made it now to where they've automated to where they're actually, there's an automation to actually have the balloons inflated. We used to do it manually back when I started, back in 1989. We used to manually do it. Of course, they were doing it long before that, too. But we had to manually put the hydrogen into those balloons, set it up, launch them twice a day at minimum, unless it was active weather. But that's still being done. The information is so important. Keep in mind, we get looking at temperature, the pressure, the humidity, and then the wind information that gets put into the models. And that segues into some of the changes that are taking place, especially for a lot of decision-making, short flight that take place across the U.S. We're getting higher resolution models that give us that, one, that process quickly, because it's a good thing that we have faster computers. But we get that to get that information process and then to the forecasters in a timely manner, so we can actually continue giving that timely update. Because here's another great thing about the command center: every 2 hours we come back. We're doing it when the changes are significant. We'll come in and give updates regularly. But every 2 hours, at minimum, we are actually bringing in more information, not only from the Weather Service, but from industry and from the launches from the weather balloons that we could see some sudden changes that need to be brought up. We'll get that, ingest that information to the decision making. So it's really exciting, all the new technology. It'll take a while to be able to describe all the new things that are taking place, but the key thing is making things faster, so the process to be able to get back.
This is kind of a dumb question, but I'm going to ask anyway.
Shoot.
When the radio sounds come back, they just land randomly and you lose them, or do people bring them back, or what?
Some do. I when I was stationed in Rapid City, South Dakota, that was when I started with the National Weather Service. I remember there were some farmers that would actually come back. Well, a lot of them would come by and bring it over just to get back into the city. But a lot of them would mail them, and some of them you can tell that they were actually tilled.
Yes, so they found them with the machine.
Yeah, so they had some encounters.
Oops. So I imagine they're basically designed as throwaways.
I think for the most part, we essentially we we count them as lost, but there is the process of refurbishing them so we can get them out there again.
When you get them back, yeah.
When we do get them back.
We live in outside Philadelphia, so I've never seen one. Seen one fly out there.
Right, right. So most of the ones that go in the east, that get launched from the east, usually go on the ocean.
Yeah.
Darn. You know, one of the more violent weather phenomena we have to deal with these days are tornadoes. Are you guys able to more accurately predict when they're going to happen?
Oh, that's another push of those models. There's several models that are being tested continuously to be able to provide the details. One, the displaying. That's the key thing, to be able to get the radar sensitivity. Here, for example, what we've realized compared to the 90s when the latest radar was brought out, we realized that lowest sector needed to be evaluated a lot more timely and effectively. So we've now have radar processes or patterns that actually do multiple scans early on. So in a typical 5 to 6 minute scan, we're doing several in the lowest levels where that's where the tornadoes are, and that's going right. We're able to get that input in.
Very good, very good.
Yeah.
All right, this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
I want to thank you for joining us, and this is EAA Radio.